Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, I'm sure you've all been there at some point in the past where you have worked on a speech, crafting it beautifully for days, weeks, maybe even months. And then you hand it over to the speaker and you see them walk up on stage and absolutely ruin it. Maybe their delivery was off, they faltered, they stumbled, suddenly they got tense or stressed in that situation. And you've seen them have a personality day to day, there's definitely one there, but in that moment, their personality left the building. And ultimately what that means is that they and your words never get the respect and results that they should. And at worst, maybe even after realizing the speech hasn't made its impact, somebody comes around to you, points a finger in your direction and says, it's your fault. And you're thinking, I did my job. I had beautiful words there. It's not down to me. But on the day, it just didn't work out. So, how do we make sure that for you, for your speakers, for people in general, that they're able to perform at their best in the key moments of life, so they get the results, reactions, and respect that they really deserve? This is something that I've been working on with my clients for the last two decades with people around the world, but really, I've been asking this question since I was this age. Aww. Doesn't it look a little bit sad there? So, this is me aged 5. A year before that, when I was 4 years old, apparently, according to friends and family, I used to skip to school, be smiling while I was there, have a great time, and skip all the way home. And then just before my 5th birthday, my parents moved house, which meant leaving all my friends behind and moving to a new school. And I still remember the very first day of that school. It's my first big memory in my life, where at the beginning of the day, my sister and I are in our new school uniforms, and she's a bit taller than me, and we went off to meet our teachers at this new school. And I remember meeting the teacher, looking at this vast classroom I was going to be in, thinking about the adventures I'd have. And then my next memory is about 2 hours later, where I was sitting at one of those tiny little tables you get in those schools, with a tiny little chair, and I tried to speak to the people on this side of me, and they just turned their backs on me and started to giggle and looked away. And then I tried to speak to the kids on the other side of me, and they did the same thing, they just sort of giggled and turned away. And I tried my best to reach out to connect to the people on the other side of the table, and they just ignored me. And I suddenly felt for the first time in my life like I was in this glass bubble, completely unable to connect with anybody else. And suddenly my survival instinct kicked in, and I burst into tears. And the teacher rushed over to me, seeing my distress, and she said, no, it's okay, don't worry about this. This is the sort of thing that happens on your first day at school. So I thought, oh, okay, there's nothing wrong with me. It's just, this is what happens on your first day. And so I thought, well, my sister, who is 2 years older, surely she's having a bad day as well. So I thought, well, I'll go and find her at lunchtime. So lunchtime, I went out to the playground, and I saw my sister just running around with this new group of friends. They're all giggling and playing together. I thought, no, it's not about being the first day at school. There's something wrong with me. I can't connect with people. I'm no good with people. I can't communicate. And those beliefs stayed with me for more than a decade. Until I was 17. Now, when I was 17, my closest friend, still is one of my dearest friends, was the brightest, hardest working student at our school. So before Google existed, if you wanted to know the answer to a question, then you just had to ask him. And during the summer holidays, when we were going to parties, we were down the pub, he was reading 3 books a day. Because he was determined, his lifelong dream was that he would become a student at the second best university in the And so he passed the Oxford exams with flying colours, he came here for his interview, and we're all waiting for the day when the official letter would arrive, congratulating him on having a place. And so we all were so confident, we put together this good luck card. And on the front of the envelope, we wrote, Oxford, Oxford, you're our man, if you can't get in, no one can. And I went to hand it to him, and he read the front of the envelope, and he never opened the card. He said, I didn't get in. I said, what do you mean you didn't get in? Of course you got in. He said, no. And he pulled out this letter that had arrived that morning. Let's talk about bad timing. And I opened up this letter, and it said, you're clearly a very intelligent, hard-working young man. However, we feel you lack the communication skills we want from our students, and therefore we are not offering you a place. And in that moment, I realised two things. Firstly, Oxford had missed out on having one of the brightest, hardest working young men they could ever want to have at their institution. But secondly, I knew I would never be as well read as him, so I better get damn good at this communication stuff, otherwise there's no hope for me in my life. And so I've spent the last 24 years since that point studying, teaching, researching communication at a monastery with a Formula One team with clients around the world. And what I've realised, and maybe you've realised as well, sometimes you can give someone all the right words to say, and they may have great passion and personality day to day, but in that moment, under some stress, suddenly it falls apart. So I've always been wondering, how do you make sure that people succeed in the key moments of life? And there's a huge amount of research or science behind this, really good books as well. A couple of my favourites are these. Anybody read any of these books? Yeah, some of you read these? Great. So Thinking Fast and Slow, Daniel Kahneman, Nobel Prize winner in economics. Steve Peters, The Chimp Paradox. He's the guy who coached a whole range of people at Team GB at the 2012 Olympics, including Victoria Pendleton. Anyone else seen him speak? He's a good speaker, if you get the chance. Yorkshireman, great sense of humour. Really good ideas behind how do you get people to perform at their best when they need to. Now, if you take all of these ideas, all the research that's been put together, I've boiled it down to three major areas you need to work on with people, which you can apply yourself, or you can share with your speakers, in order to make sure that they succeed in those key moments. It comes down to three things. Priming your mind, settle the monkey, and have an override switch. Or in other words, get your mind ready, get your state steady, and have a go switch. Ready, steady, go. I'm going to share with you how these three things work. So the first part, priming your mind. There is something called the social stress test, put together by Cresswell and Sherman. It was done a couple of years ago, for 30 people to go through an interview process, which is designed to be as grueling as possible. So the panel here were told, when people come in for their interview, you cannot give them any positive feedback. You need to sit there with a frown, generally look like you don't like them, and halfway through the interview, you're going to tell them to stand up and immediately give you a presentation about why they should get the job and nobody else. And then halfway through the presentation, you're going to interrupt with complicated maths questions, saying things such as, starting with the number 2796, minus the number 17 over and over again until you get to zero. And when they were doing it, they had to say to them, faster, faster, not good enough, faster, faster. So you can imagine the stress these people are going through. Now, what they did for the interviewees is before they went in and afterwards, they measured their heart rate and their stress levels, their cortisol hormone in the body. And what they found is for half of them, they came out and their heart rate was going through their chest, their stress level had spiked, but for the other half, there was no change. For that half, before they went into the room, they asked them to write one page on their personal values, the principles that they lived their life by, one page on why those are so important to them. Then they went in, they came out the other side. And what they realized, their theory on this, is that it was all about internal validation. They were focused on believing authentically in what they are as a person, getting internal validation and not needing the external validation of the people in the interview in order to feel calm and confident. What was more remarkable was they then asked the interviewers, who would you give the job to? And there was a 100% correlation. They had no idea who was asked to write values beforehand, but those are the people they said they would have given the job to. So I'm going to get all of you to try this out in just a moment. We're going to be sharing with somebody around you, not the person sitting next to you, you're going to go and find somebody else and share with them what are your top three values. Now I realise you're a very international crowd, I need to be very clear on what values are and what they're not. There's a big difference between what you want and what you value. So I did this with a group about 3 years ago, and they all worked together in pairs, and at the end I said, please stand up somebody and tell me your values. And this guy stood up and he said, my most important value in life is money. I said, no, you haven't quite understood this. He said, no, it is, it's money. I said, well, tell me why you think it's money. And he said that when he was a kid, he came from this family where they didn't have much money. And he said, so much so, he didn't know if there'd be food on the table when he got home. He had no idea as he came out of school where he'd be sleeping that night. Now that he was old, he had a wife, he had a child, and he wanted to make sure every night they always knew there was food on the table, and they always knew there was a roof over their heads. I said, that's a really interesting story. Thank you for sharing. Your key value in life isn't money. The key value is?
Security.
Security. Security. So there was somebody else there in the room who stood up. and said, what's a nice story, Richard? But my key value in life is money. I said, no, it's really not money. I said, no, tell me why you think it's money. She said, well, you know, I don't come from the same background as him. Thing is, for me, when I go out to a restaurant, I never want to look at the prices. I just want to be able to order whatever I want. And I want to be able to, on a Friday afternoon, just go to the airport with passport in hand, buy any flight to any destination, whenever I feel like.
And I said, the key value isn't money, it is
freedom.
Exactly. So you see how this works. So in a moment. In a moment, you're going to stand up, you're going to go and find someone, not the person sitting next to you, you want to get your blood flow going. I know some of you are out till 4 in the morning, probably if you're from Finland, probably coming to heavy metal or something like that. And so in a moment, you're going to stand up, find somebody else, ask them what their top three values or principles are that they live their life by. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to go up to the master and they're going to say, I don't know. And when they say that, you say, I know you don't know, but if you did know, what would they be? It's amazing the power of this question. I saw a great speaker recently, Jim Steer. If you ever get to see him, he's fantastic. And he was saying he's got a 7-year-old daughter. They're in a coffee shop. There's a massive queue behind them. There's this massive glass cabinet of everything you could possibly eat, all these goodies, cakes, smoothies, juices. And the little girl said, Daddy, I don't know what to have. And he said, just choose something. I don't know, Daddy. And he said, if you didn't know what you wanted, what would it be? And she said, orange juice. So, you've got 2 minutes. Standing up, find someone, off you go. Okay. Secondly, though, we need to settle the monkey. So this little monkey mind, sitting on her shoulder here, or sitting within our mind, is jabbering away all the time. And what's important about this voice, important to remember, is it's not there for your happiness. It doesn't care if you're happy. It's just there to keep you alive. So when someone stands up in front of a group of hungry-looking mammals staring in their direction, this monkey mind goes into hyperdrive saying, there's so many of them here, they could easily kill me. Why did I come here today? This is a terrible idea. They're all staring at me. Someone made a note. They're probably writing down something really bad about me. This is terrible. I shouldn't have worn this shirt today. I should leave the building. Leave the building right now. So this jabbering little monkey mind, I'm sure you've heard a version of it in your head. We want to turn this guy into this guy. So he's feeling nicely settled. Now, how do we do this? Again, many techniques, but one quick one that I'll share, I'm sure you've heard about in the past, is that you should take a deep breath. If you've got something important to do, go in there, just take a deep breath. This is terrible advice. Let me share with you why. Everybody standing up just for a moment. Pop down anything you're holding. And we need to take a look at the people standing next to you. Just notice how they look at this point of the body. Very good. The reason being, on the count of three, you're going to do a breathing competition, so you're all going to take a nice deep breath, you're going to hold it for as long as you can, and see if you can hold it longer than the person standing next to you. So here we go. On the count of three, a nice deep breath. 1, 2, 3, go. Now take a look at what happened up and down your row. You'll notice that 99% of the people in the room, their shoulders have gone up, so they haven't taken a deep breath. Relax, relax, relax. So this is what happens. If you say to someone, it's all right, just go in there and take a deep breath. This is what a speaker does going on stage. They go, they walk up there thinking, I feel like my eyeballs are going to explode. They take a snatch breath on top of another snatch breath. They think, I have no oxygen in my body, but somehow I have a lung full of air. So what we need to do is to make sure the air is coming down here. Now, to show you this on the screen, there's a couple of you standing in the way of the projector, just nudged either side. Let's just turn over to here. So I just need to see this bit down here. So whoever's head is there, just look down. So you can see here, alveoli in the lungs. We have more alveoli at the bottom of our lungs than at the top. The alveoli is there to process oxygen, and the oxygen, when it's in your bloodstream, kills off adrenaline. So if you want to produce adrenaline, you need the more oxygen. So the way to do that is you need to do diaphragmatic breathing. but you also need to do it in a specific rhythm. So let's just work on the deeper breathing first. Take one hand, place it on your stomach, and in a moment, not just yet, but in a moment, you're going to push all the air out of your lungs by going shh, and when you get to the end, you're going to go tsh, 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 and then you hold, 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 relax, and the air will come down here. So here we go, one, two, three, go, shh. Hold, hold, hold. Keep your hand here and relax. Very nice. Now you get the air coming down here. So that's where we want it, but you need it in a specific rhythm because you need to move yourself or your speaker away from the sympathetic nervous system to the parasympathetic nervous system. So going away from fight or flight towards rest, relaxation, confidence, performing at their best. The way you do this is through a rhythm called 5-5-5-2. Breathing in for 5, hold for 5, breathing out for 5, and holding for 2. I'm going to count you through it. We're going to take our little monkey off here to a tropical island where he can do this. With one hand on your stomach, do the 5-5-5-2. We'll breathe out first and then do the rhythm. So here we go, pushing all the air out. And hold. 1, 2. Relax and let air in. 2, 3. Filling up 4, 5, and hold to process the oxygen. 3, 4, 5, push it out. 2, 3, 4, 5, and hold. 1, 2, relax and let the air in. 2, 3, 4, 5. Very nice, and everybody take a seat. So ideally, in order to get this to work, you need to go around at least 3 times. I get speakers to do it for 2 minutes, but at least 3 times to change from sympathetic to parasympathetic nervous system. So you're priming the person's mind, getting them ready, getting them settled in state, and then the last thing that we need here is the go switch. The go switch. So what is this? Muhammad Ali has been talked about as the greatest athlete of all time. And back when he was so dominant in his sport, a journalist went to speak to him and said, how are you doing this? How are you so effective? And one of the things he talked about was future history. Future history. He said that he would visualize his fight so clearly in which round, with which punch, he was going to knock someone out. It was like creating future history. He vividly imagined it so well, he believed it had already happened. And it got to a point where, as somebody told me, that he had predicted his fight. He would predict it out loud before the fight. He got it right 32 times out of 34 fights. So the gambling companies were coming to him saying, please don't do this anymore. We can't take as many bets on your fights. And so he stopped announcing it, but he kept on doing it. Now, there's a speaker that I saw about 5 years ago who was talking about his grandfather and the work that his grandfather did with Muhammad Ali. And he was saying that his grandfather, at one point, he was working for this charity. He went to Ali and said, is it possible to auction off a pair of your boxing gloves for our charity? And he said, even better, I'm going to give you a ticket to come and see the fight sitting on the front row. And the guy had never been to a boxing match before, but he went. He was sitting there on the front row watching Ali in the ring. And Ali, in the 5th round, with the first punch, came out swinging and knocked the guy out. And suddenly the whole crowd went crazy, rushing down around the ring. And this guy's little grandfather, was feeling, I'm going to get crushed. So he started to move out of the arena. At which point, Ali said to him, you want the gloves? He was like, yes, I do want the gloves. He started ripping them off, so the guy went back up. He threw the gloves to him, and he started to cut out of the arena again with these gloves. And then he said, look in the gloves! He's like, what? Look in the gloves! And so he looked inside the gloves, and inside one of the gloves, in big white letters, he'd written 5th round. And inside the other glove, he'd written 1st punch. So he was still doing this future history, he just wasn't announcing it. And if you listen, you can hear so many different athletes talk about future history. They visualize what's going to happen so clearly, they believe that it already has. And so you can do this yourself, you can do it for a speaker as well. But I talk to people about doing a minimum 15 minutes, if they can, and ideally 15 minutes a day for a couple of weeks leading up to a critical event. Getting on comfortable shoes so they can go outside, and listening to music that makes them feel good. So it could be relaxing spa classics, it could be heavy metal, it's whatever you happen to prefer. And then they imagine what's going to happen. Now, the key to this, some people say, I'm not very good at visualizing stuff. if people have anxiety, they are imagining the future going badly. That's what anxiety is. And all you're doing is flipping anxiety upside down so that people are imagining the future going well. Now, two key things when they visualize it. You cannot control technology. And you cannot control world events. If you imagine world events going in a certain direction, you can't control that, or technology. You can control you. What you do, how you feel, how you speak, how you come across. And those are the things I get people to focus on. So as a last little activity for you all, I'm going to get you all to try it. So one last time, please, everybody up on your feet. Let's make just a like, slight partition in the middle here, if you can move to one side to still see the screen. Good. So, the way to do this, it's best to do it with your eyes closed, just in case you don't want to shut your eyes. I'm going to put some lapping waves on the shore here to make you feel nicely settled. And it's best to do it with your eyes closed though, feet nicely settled on the floor. Make sure you're not holding anything, hands by your side, not folded or closed anyway, just nicely settled. And if you're going to close your eyes, just closing your eyes. And breathe all the air out of your body. Relax as you breathe in. I'd like you to think about your values. What values did you discuss with someone just now? Integrity, being a good friend, being a good father. That's important to you. And now I'd like you to think about a future event, something that's important to you, a meeting, interview, a speech, something that you genuinely want to go well. And as you get that event in your mind, I'd like you to imagine it's the day of the event. And you're heading towards the building where the event will take place. Feeling calm, confident, and ready. And you get into the building and you start to see the people who you're going to meet. Feeling confident, feeling ready. And if you're in a meeting, you imagine yourself sitting down. If it's a speech, you imagine yourself going up on stage and turning to look at all the people who are sitting or standing in front of you. At that point, you start to imagine yourself to begin to speak. And as you hear the words coming out of your mouth, you imagine yourself saying everything that you wanted to say. And saying it the way that you want to say it. With all the personality, the passion, excitement, the rhythm. You imagine everything going well as you get through that meeting, that event, feeling proud, confident. And coming to the end of the event in your imagination, you imagine leaving that building knowing that you did the best job you could do. Very nice. Everybody open your eyes, take your seats.
Wow.
So this is something I encourage people to do many times over, and you can take longer and you can use the music of your choice. But remember, what we're essentially aiming to do here is prime the mind. Make sure the mind is ready well ahead of the event. Settle the monkey, whatever needs to be done to settle the monkey on the day, and have that go switch. And the go switch is very simple. When you get there, like muscle memory, you'll have this mental memory of, oh, I know this event. I've been here before. And your mind will be programmed to take you in the direction that you want it to take you. So I fitted in whatever I could in this short time slot. I work on this with clients sometimes for 2-3 hours or maybe longer. But I wanted to give you as much value as I could here. So if you've enjoyed this, but you want to take it further and maybe share these techniques with other people around you, then I put together this gift to go after this session. So if you just grab your phones, if you haven't had your phones with you, doesn't matter what type of phone, Samsung's, iPhones, whatever you've got with you, just grab your phones. And if you get ready to send an email, it's the easiest way to get this done. So to take this session a bit further, because this is quite a small chunk, I've put together for you a free gift, which is a bunch of videos bringing some of these techniques to life and a whole range of other ones as well. I put these together for this book that I launched last year, but I thought actually I'm just going to share these videos with you completely for free. So there's 15 videos in total. It's one video a day for 15 days, and there's a little challenge to do each day to put those things into action. So if you'd like to get these videos, you can use them yourself, you can share them with whoever you'd like to. Then all you have to do is send an email to this address. So you're welcome to send the email now if you'd like to. It's video@borntospeak.com. video@borntospeak.com. And there's no need for a message or a subject heading, just video@borntospeak.com, press send. And if you want to put something in the subject heading ABC, or if it doesn't matter what it is, it's all automated. So you press send, and what you'll get back from us is this email. So video B2S, just in case it goes in your junk, video B2S, which is video born to speak. And the top link is the one you need to click to get the videos. So we're protecting your data, you click that link to get the videos. And then there's the second link down there if you wanted to order a copy of the book. This is not me trying to make some money out of the talk. All of the profits go to charity. These three amazing charities, AfriKids, Room to Read, and the Painter Cell Academy. AfriKids, I'm actually getting on a plane tomorrow to go to Ghana to work with them for a week on their projects. Very meaningful projects, bringing healthcare, education, safety to women and children in India and Africa. So I hope you enjoy the videos. Do keep in touch with me on all these places. I'm mainly on LinkedIn. I do an article there every week just to keep the techniques going. I hope you found that useful, and I certainly hope that you and your speakers end up getting the results they really deserve in future. Thank you all very much.